In Kansas, you can carry a concealed gun anywhere, unless there's a no handgun sign posted at eye level at the entrance. Currently, it's up to local governments, cities, townships, whether or not to allow concealed carry in their public buildings. If they don't want handguns in their buildings, like any business, they have to post that no handgun sign. But a couple of weeks ago, Kansas Governor Sam Brownback signed into law a bill that allows anyone with a permit to carry a concealed weapon into public buildings. That's unless the building has proper security measures in place. Proper security measures, meaning metal detectors, wands, or armed guards. This new law takes that power away from cities and puts it in the hands of the state. GOP Representative Jim Howell from Southeast Wichita says this is to ensure that citizens are protected in these public buildings.
Since the taxpayer owns these buildings, the policy is either we provide security for you or we give you the right to defend yourself per the Constitution. And that's really the genesis of this bill.
Howell says that states should trust people with permits to carry concealed handguns. These gun owners have passed the concealed carry training and have had background checks.
We know who these people are. They're the good guys. Why would we take the good guys' right to defend themselves away?
In fact, Patricia Stone King actually trains people in concealed carry and firearm safety, holding classes at the bullet hole shooting range. Stone King is also president of the KSRA. That's the Kansas State Rifle Association, the local chapter of the NRA.
The members of the KSRA believe in their right, and they believe that the Second Amendment protects their right to be able to defend themselves and doesn't matter to them what the venue is.
Stone King was one of the main lobbyists for the bill because she believes gun owners should be able to defend themselves in a public building.
The same as they can defend themselves at the local shopping mall or the local steakhouse.
She says you can choose not to go into that steakhouse or private business posted with a no handgun sign.
But I don't always have a choice if I need to go down to the voter registration office or I need to go over at the city hall or whatever it is. I don't always have a choice about that.
Stone King says gun owners are in a tough spot. In a building without security, there's no control over who goes in, so there's no guarantee that someone's not carrying a gun. And at the same time, permit holders are not legally allowed to carry their firearm to defend themselves. In addition, Stone King says it's important to have self-protection in the event of a rampage shooting, like Newtown, or the Aurora, Colorado theater shootings last year. Philip J. Cook says he gets that. He's a professor of economics and sociology at the Duke University School of Public Policy.
But that's very understandable to have some kind of protection in a circumstance like that that would be more immediate than being able to call the police. The problem is that it comes at a real cost.
Cook has done quite a bit of research on the social cost of gun availability and violence.
The cost is going to be having guns in places that we're not used to having guns, and to have guns in schools, to have guns in public buildings is going to increase the risk of accidents and of shootings that would not have occurred otherwise just because the guns are there.
Cook mentions public schools because this law also gives state colleges and school districts the power to designate certain employees to carry a concealed handgun at work. He says that the research shows the risk increases
almost regardless of who has them.
But Cook says it's still unclear how concealed carry affects public safety in general. He says there have been a lot of studies, but the evidence is weak on both sides of the issue. Nonetheless, a lot of cities throughout Kansas are going to have to make some security changes to their buildings. One of those places is Prairie Village City Hall. While I'm still outside by the flagpole, I'm actually a little confused as to which entrance to go in. There's five of them, and none of them have metal detectors or armed guards or anything like that. I'm here to see Dennis Enslinger, the assistant city administrator.
So, like, this is the main entrance.
That's the way I came in. Enslinger says the design of the building makes it complicated to secure, with the police department on one side and City Hall on the other. The building's kind of a funny shape.
So as you can see, we're going into the hallway that connects the City Hall portion of the building and then the police portion of the building, which was built in the 1980s. So it's basically a giant U, and then we have a green space in the middle of the two spaces, and then entrances are divided on either side of the U.
Under the new law, police departments are exempt from providing proper security measures. So Enslinger says it's not real clear if the rest of the complex counts as part of the police department or not. Enslinger says one difficulty in thinking of possible security measures is that neither City Hall nor the police department holds a normal 8-to-5 schedule. There's always something going on in the evenings, like night court or meetings for the Jazz Fest group or art gallery openings.
We also have a gallery space by different artists. Some of them are local Prairie Village artists or some are metropolitan artists.
All along the white walls, there are good-sized 8.5 by 11 photos and paintings, creating kind of a border.
So each month the artwork changes, and then we'll have a reception with cheese and punch, and the artist gets to invite their friends, and we invite the general public, so we send out postcards. And we have anywhere between, you know, sometimes 20, sometimes 50 people who show up for that.
Enslinger says he's unsure if Prairie Village needs to provide securities for these soirees, and if they do, how much. So everything about this building comes into question. If they need security, the extent of that security, how many hours they need it during the day, plus how much will it cost? Metal detectors can cost thousands of dollars, but State Representative Jim Howell doesn't think it has to cost much of anything. Just allow concealed carry.
Well, I would argue the price of a razor blade. I mean, not to be silly, but the right answer is that we should trust law-abiding citizens.
The law goes into effect on July 1st. Then cities have until January to come up with a security plan. After that, local governments can apply for a 4-year exemption with the state attorney general while they put those security measures in place. During that 4 years, then, concealed carry would still be banned in those public buildings. But for right now, Enslinger says his office is still in the process of assessing the law. They'll compile the information and present it to the city council. Then the city council will decide if they want to allow concealed carry or front the cost to provide security. And many other cities across Kansas are in similar situations. For an example of a building that already has security measures, I headed over to KCK.
Lobby, going down.
At KCK City Hall, Commissioner Nathaniel Barnes shows me around. They already have the security measures in place. A couple armed guards with wands. There are also metal detectors. Nothing huge like you'd see at an airport, but they still check for weapons. Barnes also shows me the council chambers, a wide, green, semicircle of a room. We go up on the commissioner's platform.
Usually we have a security guard here for all our meetings, and I can't verify this. My glasses won't allow me to read. I don't know if you can see any reading on there. Does that tell you what kind of stuff that is? Does it have these? Can you read anything?
He's pointing to a beige, plastic-looking sheet that covers the front of the commissioner's desk. I had to get down on all fours and sort of contort myself in order to read the little sticker he was pointing to.
What does it say?
Oh, it's the other way. Yeah, glass armor. Yeah, this little sign here says glass armor, ballistic panels.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, level 2. Made in the USA.
Yeah.
Yeah, what, so that's like some sort of protective.
Yeah, so when somebody goes shooting.
Down to the ground?
That's right.
Barnes drops to the floor to show me procedure if someone opens fire. Now, Barnes actually supports concealed carry. He has a permit himself, but he says that local governments should be allowed to decide what's right in their own buildings.
You know, I'm a strong supporter, a strong advocate of home rule. Do I support concealed carry? Yes, I do, in some kind of way, form, or fashion. Do I support people having the right to control their own municipalities? Yes, I do.
He says some of his constituents think that there are certain places, like City Hall or other public buildings, where it's just not a good idea to have a handgun. Kansas isn't alone, though, in passing statewide gun legislation. Dozens of states are enacting similar laws, according to Jeff Welty, a professor of public law and government at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. But Kansas is a bit different.
This particular bill may go a little bit farther than most in terms of actually limiting local governments from barring guns in their own buildings, which many states allow local governments to have that authority. But the impetus behind the bill, the idea of expanding gun rights, is something that, you know, is familiar and common, and in a lot of states has a lot of political momentum right now.
And the politics are still at play in Kansas and Missouri, where several more gun bills are still in the works. For Casey Kearns, I'm Monica Sandretsky.